Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kura More Tumavina Kedayalu Jagat Samsari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kura More Tumavina Kedayalu Jagat Samsari Patita Pavana Hetu Tavayavata Mosama Patita Prabhu Napaiveya Patita Pavana Hetu Tavayavata Samapatita Prabhu Hai Beya Ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Balakana Koro Ami Boro Dukhi Prabha Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Balakana Koro Ami Boro Dukhi Daya Koro Sita Poti Advaita Gata Tava Kripa Bole Pai Chaitanya Nita Rosita Poti Advaita Gata Tava Kripa Bole Pai Chaitanya Nita Swarup Sanatana Bhatta Raghuna Bhatta Rupa Dijiva Prabhu Lokana Swarup Sanatana Rupa Raghuna Tajuga Sri Jiva Prabhu Lokana Daya Koro Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivā Ramchandra Sangha Māge Narottamoda Acharya Prabhu Srinivā Ramchandra Sangha Māge Narottamoda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kura More Tumavina Kedayalu Jagat Samsari Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Kura More Tumavina Kedayalu Jagat Samsari
Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Shto Tarashto Shishya Maresi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Kantaraj Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Nitai Goprimanande Hare Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Agar Isri Assembled Devotee Agar Isri Assembled Devotee Agar Isri Assembled Devotee Agar Isri Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshuran Miritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Swayam Rupa Kodamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavansha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Sounds a little South Indian. It's not good. We're going to South India right now with Lord Chaitanya. So we're reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. We're doing a whole bunch of verses today, 17 through 37. This first one we'll do together. The word meanings are Nrsingha Dekhiya. After seeing the Lord Nrsingha deity, Tare, unto him, Kaila did Nati Stuti, offering of various prayers, Siddhavakta to Siddhavat. Gela, he went. Yahan, where? Murti, the deity. Sitapati, Lord Ramchandra. Nrsingha Dekhiya Tare Kaila Nati Stuti. Siddhavata Gela Yahan Murti Sitapati. Nrsingha Dekhiya Tare Kaila Nati Stuti. Siddhavata Gela Yari Yahan Murti Sitapati. Nrsingha Dekhiya Tare Kaila Nati Stuti. Siddhavata Gela Yahan Murti Sitapati.
Siddhavata Gela Yahan Murti Sitapati.
Ladies,
Nrsingha Dekhiyatare Kailamati Stuti Siddhavata Gelayan Murti Sitapati.
Translation. After seeing the Ahobala Nrsingha deity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered many prayers unto the Lord. He then went to Siddhavat, where he saw the deity of Ramchandra, the Lord of Sita Devi. Purport. This Siddhavata is 10 miles east of the village Kodapada, or Kodapa. It is also known as Siddhauta. Previously, this place was also known as Southern Benares. There is a great banyan tree there, and it is therefore known as Siddhavat. Vata means banyan tree. So this area we're in right now is in Andhra Pradesh, west of Chennai, that southern part of India, on the banks of the Pennar River. I was looking it up on the internet. It was a little hard to find because these are small places. I looked for Southern Benares, and that's how I was able to find it. Next verse, we can chant together.
Raghunatha Deki Kaila Pranati Stavana Tahanika Vipra Pabur Kaila Nirmantrana.
After seeing the deity of Lord Ramchandra, the descendant of King Raghu, the Lord offered his prayers and obeisances. Then a Brahmin invited the Lord to take lunch.
Sevipra Rama Nama Nirantaralaya Rama Rama Vina Anya Vainirnathaya.
That Brahmana constantly chanted the holy name of Ramachandra. Indeed, but for chanting Lord Ramachandra's holy name, that Brahmana did not speak a word.
Se Dina Tara Dhare Rahi Bhiksha Kare Tare Kripa Kare Aage Chalila Gaura Hari.
That day, Lord Chaitanya remained there and accepted prasad at his house. After bestowing mercy upon him in this way, the Lord proceeded ahead.
Skanda Kshetra Tirte Kaila Skanda Darshana Trimataila Taham Deki Trivakrama.
At the holy place known as Skanda Kshetra, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Skanda. From there he went to Trimata, where he saw the Vishnu deity Trivikrama.
Puna Siravata Aila Sevipra Dari Sevipra Krishna Namalaya Nirantari.
After visiting the temple of Trivikram, the Lord returned to Siddhavat, where he again visited the house of the Brahmana, who was now constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Bhiksha kare Mahaprabhu tare prashna kaila kaha vipraye tomar kondasha haila.
After finishing his lunch there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, "My dear friend, kindly tell me what your position is now."
Purve tumi nirantara laite ramanama ebe kene nirantara lo krishna nama.
Formerly, you were constantly chanting the holy name of Lord Ram. Why are you now constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna?
Vipra bhale eto mara darshana prabhave Tomadiki gela mora ajanma swabhavi.
The Brahmana replied, "This is all due to your influence, sir. After seeing you, I have lost the long practice of my life."
Bhaya vudhi rama nama dahana amara tomadeki krishna nama aila eka bhara.
From my childhood I have been chanting the holy name of Lord Ramachandra, but after seeing you I began to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna.
Sehaite krishna nama jivate vasila krishna nama spure rama nama dure gela.
Since then, the holy name of Lord Krishna has been tied to my tongue. Indeed, when I chant the holy name of Krishna, the holy name of Lord Ramchandra goes far away.
Balya kala haite mora swabhava ekahaya namera mahima shastra kariye sanjaya.
From my childhood, I have been practicing this chanting and have been collecting the glories of the holy name from revealed scriptures.
Ramante yogino nante satyanande chiratmani iti rama padena sa param brahma bhidiyate.
That supreme absolute truth is called Rama because the transcendentalists take pleasure in the unlimited true pleasure of spiritual existence. Purport. This is the eighth verse of the Shatanam Stotra of Lord Ramchandra, which is found in the Padma Purana.
Krishibhu vachaka shabdo nascha nivriti vachaka toyo raikyam param brahma krishna itya bhidiyate.
The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb krish is added to the affix na, it becomes krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. Purport, this is a verse from the Udyoga Parva 71.4 of the Mahabharata.
Param brahma dvi nama samana haila huna ara shastri kichu vishesha paila.
As far as the holy names of Ram and Krishna are concerned, they are on an equal level. But for further advancement, we receive some specific information from revealed scriptures.
Rama Ramiti Ramiti Rame Rame Manorame Sahasra Nama Bisturyam Rama Nama Varanane.
Lord Shiva addressed his wife Durga as Varanana, and explained, "I chant the holy name of Rama, 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 and thus enjoy this beautiful sound. This holy name of Ramachandra is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu." Purport, this is a verse from the Brihat Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, 72.335, in the Uttarakhanda of the Padma Purana.
Sahasranam nam punyanam triravritya tu yatpalam eka vritya tu krishnasya nama ekam tat prayachyati.
The pious results derived from chanting the holy names of Vishnu three times can be attained by only one repetition of the holy name of Krishna. Purport. This verse from the Brahmanda Purana is found in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.354 by Rupa Goswami. For every three times one chants the holy name of Rama, one attains the same results simply by chanting the name of Krishna once.
Evakye Krishna namera mahima upara.
Whoops, got the wrong melody here.
Evakye Krishna namera mahima apara tatapi laite nari shunahetu tara.
According to the statement of the Shastras, the glories of the holy name of Krishna are unlimited. Still, I could not chant his holy name. Please hear the reason for this.
Ishtadeva rama taraname sukapaya Sukhana Rama Nama Ratri Dina Gai.
My worshipable Lord has been Lord Ramachandra, and by chanting his holy name, I received happiness. Because I received such happiness, I chanted the holy name of Lord Rama day and night.
Tumara darshane abe Krishna nama aila, tahara mahima tobe hridaya lagila.
By your appearance, Lord Krishna's holy name also appeared, and at that time, the glories of Krishna's name awoke in my heart. And this is the final verse.
Se Krishna tumi sakshat iha nirdharila, eta kai vipra prabhura charane padila.
The Brahmin concluded, Sir, you are that Lord Krishna himself. This is my ascertainment. Saying this, the Brahmin fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Interesting pastime. I don't know what it means, but it's an interesting pastime. Now this begins here, the transition is from the previous verse. Lord Chaitanya visited Ahovalam. The text 16 was, there he saw Lord Mahadev, that's a different one, the servant of Lord Ram. He then went to Ahovala Nrsingha. After seeing the Ahovala Nrsingha deity, the Lord offered prayers and went to Siddhabhat. So there's really nothing, Prabhupada doesn't say anything here about Ahovala Nrsingha, but it's kind of a popular place for us. Devotees know about Ahovalam. We've had a couple of articles in BTG about it. And Arjuna Swami wrote one. And then our Dhruva, son of Dharmatma and Dwijapriya, he wrote an article in BTG 2001. He had read the earlier article by Indrajumna Swami, was inspired, because he's been a Nrsingha Bhakta his whole life. So he was inspired to go to Ahovalam. So he went there, 2001, so he was a pretty young man then. And then he wrote a BTG article about it. So at Ahovalam Nrsingha, it's a really remote place in South India, just a really tiny town, one street. But there are nine major... Actually, I think there are 10 temples, but there, it's known as nine Nrsingha temples. It's dotted here and there in the mountains. It's really, it's jungle there. There's tigers and bears and everything, and cobras and you name it, it's there. So when he went, it's becoming more popular now. Actually, they probably have tour guides. When he went somehow, when Dhruva went, he found someone to take him around. So he went, and in one day, had to walk and walk and walk, and visit all these different Nrsingha deities. So some of them are extremely old. There's one, he's been worshipped for so long, his face is practically worn out from all the abhisheks. It's always something that we wonder about, why there's not much archaeological evidence for our Vedic culture, Krishna culture. Like in Egypt, they had the pilgrims, and I made the pilgrims, the pyramids. So you can't deny them. There they are. Sticking up. Actually, I did a little research on ancient archaeology. What happened was I was watching a video by Judhakarma Prabhu, ancient human. And then on the side, if you go on YouTube, they get all these things to entice you to look, you know, into something else. So I saw these different videos on different ancient places. So I started looking at some of these. I dabbled in it a little bit. Not something to spend your life on, but I did spend a little time. It's quite interesting, actually, that there's actually a lot of evidence for ancient man-made things, artifacts, they say. An artifact means you can see that it's made by some kind of human or alien or some not naturally made by a river or glacier or something. So things like the pyramids, no one will deny that, you know, these stones just fell together there in some natural way. Someone had to build them. And what I discovered was that there's no way to explain how they were built according to even modern, our advanced construction technology. They couldn't build the pyramids. They don't have the equipment to do it, even today, because the stones are so huge. Here and other places, that's one thing you find that all over the world, There are these structures that are made of huge stones weighing hundreds, sometimes 1,000 tons. Like you can't get enough, you know, little guys around it to lift the thing. And there are no cranes today that can come anyplace close to lifting these things. So, of course, the scientists and the doubters, they all try to debunk these things. And then you have the debunkers of the debunkers, and these, you know, these arguments go on. But it seems pretty obvious that somehow or other, a long time ago, somebody built these things. So it pushes a history way back. One thing I came across was the Sphinx. Now, modern archaeologists, they rate the Sphinx at, or they age it at something like 2,500 years ago, was supposedly built. But geologists say, now geologists, their expertise is in stone and what happens to stone and how it erodes and things like that. And they say that the erosion of the Sphinx was not caused by the wind, it was caused by rain. And it hasn't been rain there for at least 35,000 years. So the archaeologists, they say, no, that can't be, that's impossible, you know, because our theory says that's impossible, so it's impossible, you must be wrong. But the scientific experts say, no, we're right. This was rain falling that caused this to look like that. So you find all these kinds of things. So there are pyramids all over the world. What they're doing there, there's all kinds of speculation. You know, maybe there were guidance for alien invasions or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of ideas what they're there for. One thing I found interesting is there aren't any in India. They're in South America. They're all over the place. I think there may be some in North America. I'm not sure. But all over the world, in Europe and, of course, in the Middle East, there's pyramids all over the place. And a lot of them have certain geometric alignments. They line up with each other. But there aren't any in India for some reason. I don't know. Maybe the Brahmins kept all the aliens out or something. I don't know. But there is this kind of archaeological evidence all over the world for ancient civilizations. We don't see much of it in India, but we can say, well, we know at least from our scriptures that for a long time, saintly persons have been visiting deities in temples in India. We hear Lord Chaitanya here is visiting South India and visiting these old deities. But these deities were old when Lord Balaram went on pilgrimage 5,000 years ago. And when Vidura went on pilgrimage, these places were already there. Many of these places have been existing who knows how long. It's like here we're hearing about this Brahmin. He's worshiping Lord Ramchandra. So most likely there have been deities of Lord Ramchandra for a very, very long time, probably since he appeared here. We tend to speak of, when we speak of Lord Ramchandra, devotees tend to think of, well, he was here in Treta Yuga. So he did appear in Treta Yuga. But it wasn't this Treta Yuga that he appeared. He appeared in either two or three, I forget. This is explained in Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. We're in now the 28th Chatur Yuga, I think, of this particular period. And Lord Ram appeared, I think it's in the 25th, either the 25th or the 26th. So I did a quick calculation in my head once. It's something like 10 million years ago, Lord Ramchandra was here. When I think of that, one thing that comes to mind is, well, it's really amazing that we still have the Ramayana around. 10 million years later, that means it survived the end of Kali, you know, through a couple of two or three Kali Yugas. And the devastation, there's some kind of devastation that takes place, partial devastation at the end of Kali Yuga. Everything is revived again in Satya Yuga, and we go through these periods. So for at least two or three of these cycles of the Yugas, the Ramayana is still present. Now one explanation for that is, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu explains in the commentary of the Tattvasandarbha, which is Sanatana Goswami's own commentary, that everything is always existing. The Vedas are always existing. That means the Ramayana is always existing also in some unmanifest form. Just like Krishna, he has his prakat and aprakat lila. So his aprakat lila is not visible to us, and sometimes he makes it visible. He comes out of the closet, shows himself. So similarly, the Vedas are like that also. They appear to have a certain history, but they're always there, present. And there are always great, pure souls, rishis, the Vedas, for example. They're seen by the rishis. They're called seers. Why are they called seers? Because they see beyond what we can see. They can see into the other realm, and they can read or hear these eternally present sounds. Even in our Bhagavatam, of course, we have the prayers by the personified Vedas. So these personified Vedas, the Shruti Gana, they're called, they're always existing, they're eternal. They coexist eternally, just as we're eternal, we're jivas, we live eternal, we exist eternally. Krishna is the origin of everything, but still everything exists simultaneously, eternally. Just like you can't have the sun without the sunshine, so you can't have Krishna without his energies. They're eternal. So these Shrutis are also eternal. So the Lord is eternal. Lord Ramchandra is certainly eternal. That means that Ramayana is certainly eternal. So it exists somewhere in the spiritual realm. And those who have the vision, they can see and they can read and recite and rejuvenate the Ramayana, Ram Katha, bring it back into society, even though it may appear to may seem to have disappeared in written form. So that's one explanation of how this could happen, that even though Ram was here 10 million years ago, still today we have Ram Katha. So getting back to Lord Nrsimha, so there are these in Ahobalam, though this is, I was saying, this is a very ancient place. The deities are very old. Now this Ahobalam is said to be, I'm always a little wary when I hear this, is said to be, but in other words, you can't really find it in the Vishnu Purana or something. You find it in the Stala Purana. Stala Purana, Stala means the place. So every place has its local Puranas, or history. Purana means history. Just like in Puri, there's a Stala Purana that has so many histories of miracles by Lord Jagannath and great devotees of Lord Jagannath, pastimes of Lord Jagannath. So similarly, in the Stala Purana for Ahobalam, you'll find histories of these different deities. So sometimes they're named, and there are different pastimes. And one of the main thing about this, the purport of this Stala Purana, is that this is actually the place where Lord Nrsimhadeva appeared. That's what it is said. And there's one stone that sticks way up in high in the air. Cliff is said to be the remains of the column that he burst out from. Of course, now it's like a, it's a mountain, basically. You have to hike all the way up and get all the way up there to the top of it. And then you can see all over the place. So Lord Chaitanya visited this place. At least we know that much. And there are different stories told about the different deities. They have different names, different forms. Of course, Nrsimhadeva, he appears in different forms, or appears in deity form, in different forms. There's one form. There are a couple of the deities. There's actually a video of this too, which I discovered. Nrsimhananda Prabhu, Nrsimha Ananda, he did a video of Ahobalam. In fact, he starts off in the video, he's reading Back to God. He gets his Back to God hit from his mailbox, and he sees the article by Dhruva, and he gets inspired. He says, oh, I should go there too. And usually I just sit around here in my pyramid house in Topanga Canyon. I'd like to go. So somehow he contacts Dhruva and Yadubar Prabhu. Yadubar Prabhu actually filled him. So he went there in Dhruva. So there's footage of Dhruva visiting all these places, showing Nrsimhananda around, and Yadubar Prabhu is filming it. Actually, at the beginning, there's a little aside here, but before they get to that place, Dhruva, because he's such a Nrsimha bhakta, he's always looking for new Nrsimha deities. So he discovered this one Nrsimha deity, where to get to it, you have to walk through water, like up to your waist or your chest, inside a dark black cave, pitch black, no light whatsoever. Way in the back of this cave is the deity. You have to walk through this water, and the ceiling is covered completely with bats. And you know bats, how they excrete, it comes from their mouth. So they hang upside down, it just falls into the water. So that's what they're walking through to get to this deity. So they have footage of this. And they get to the back of the cave, and someone is getting married there. It wasn't a big wedding party, I'll tell you that. I think it was just the new bride and groom and maybe one other person. The priest is performing the puja. Complete. They were just there with one little candle or something. And the Nrsimhananda comes in with his lights, camera, lighting up the place, which the bats didn't like very much. So this ancient deity, the priest is splashing water, he's doing abhishek to the deity as the ceremony. And after you see the bride and groom walking through the water out of there, you know, they're leaving for their honeymoon. So of course, all these places, they had the local bhaktas, and sometimes the families have been worshiping for many, many generations. So there's a Nrisimha deity in Ahobalam. There are a couple of them that have Hiranyakashipu on his lap. So one is said to be that, actually, I forget, there was one sage, I forget who it was. One of the deities is called Bhargava Nrisimha. Bhargava is Parashuram, because Parashuram performed meditation there and performed austerities there. And he wanted to see Lord Nrisimha, so Nrisimha appeared to him. But I think maybe it's a different sage, that he wanted to see the Lord's form too, and the Lord showed him the form of what he looked like just when he came out of the pillar and had just before he split open Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad is there offering his pranams to Lord Nrisimhadev. So you have Ugra Nrisimha. Ugra means ferocious, horrible looking, scary, when he's going to tear apart. So you have some Ugra Nrisimha deities where he's very fierce. I think our Mayapur deity is Ugra Nrisimha, right? So very fierce. He's so ecstatic. The Mayapur Nrisimha, whew, he's awesome. So then there's I don't know what he's called, but when he's Shanti, when he's more relaxed and peaceful, after Prahlad calms him down. You know the story in the Bhagavatam. All the demigods are offering their prayers, but he was still... It's called Jwala Nrisimha too. Jwala means fire. So it's like burning with fire. Actually, in Dhruva's story, when he talks about going there, there was fire in the jungle burning. And the locals say there's fires there. A lot of time there's forest fires there because Nrisimha is still so hot. Some of his deities are still burning up the place. So there are deities that show a different kind of fierce form. And then there is more relaxed, peaceful. Then the Yoga Nrisimha, maybe that's the Yoga Nrisimha deity, where he's sitting in yoga posture and he's in meditation, or at least in a shanti, peaceful position. So Lord Chaitanya went there, and of course, Lord Balaram went there, and Vidura went there, and people have been going to visit these deities for thousands, millions of years. So this is our archaeological evidence. The deities themselves have been existing for such a long time. And the lineage, it goes back into the remote past. It's untraceable how long these deities have been worshipped. So that's Nrisimha. And then we hear this pastime. It's kind of late now, but what I said was I can't explain it, because this was his Ishta Devata, Lord Ramchandra. This Brahmin was worshipping Lord Ram. So somehow, Lord Chaitanya converted him into a Krishna Bhakta. Sounds a little unusual, because his whole life, just imagine, he was, that's all he did, his whole life was chant Ram, 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 Ram. Said he didn't even say anything else. Doesn't it say in the, I was trying to remember, in the Cleansed Gundicha Temple, I think it's described there, the devotees would just communicate by saying the name, Krishna's name. Instead of saying, give me a cleaning rag, you'd say, Krishna, Krishna, or Ram, Ram, Krishna, Ram. Yeah, do it sign language. I know we used to do it that way in another temple I was at. We would just say Krishna's name during the whole cleaning, Gundicha, before Rath Yatra. So this Brahmin, all his life, he was chanting Lord Ram's name. Then he met Lord Chaitanya, and they started saying Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, he says... said, I had been chanting, he says, now I am also chanting Krishna's name. But I think in the verse of the purport, it says, now I can't, oh yes, it says that Ram's name has gone far away. Dude Gela, Rama Nama Dude Gela. Now I can't even chant Ram's name anymore. Of course, we wonder, well, why can't he chant the Maha Mantra? He could chant them both at the same time. So it's a little hard to understand when you really start thinking about what's going on here. Hard to understand. Of course, the main lesson, I think, why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining this is he's showing that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And he has that power to make anyone, even a Ram Bhakta, into a Krishna Bhakta. What to speak of anybody else? Even someone whose heart is completely sold out to Lord Ram can be turned into a Krishna Bhakta by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So maybe, you know, the fact that he changed his rasa or something may not exactly be the point here. The point is the power of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to induce Krishna Bhakti. Now the other thing is, of course, there's no difference between Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. If you're a Krishna Bhakta, you're also a Ram Bhakta, because within Krishna is everyone. Everyone is within Krishna. When you worship Krishna, then you're worshiping everyone simultaneously. But somehow his mood was changed by the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, of course, we have these verses here that describe how Krishna is greater. Three names of Ram equal one name of Krishna. So we can take this, maybe not literally exactly, although, of course, it's literally there in the Shastra. But the idea is there that Krishna is, even though there are so many Vishnu Tattva forms of the Lord, Krishna is still the highest or the original. So everyone is, in the sense, not less exactly, but Krishna is still the original. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. So that's another lesson that we can take from this pastime of this Brahmana and the transformation by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'll stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments or archaeological commentary? Ramanya Prabhu?
There's very ancient temples in India, like in Orissa, Jagannath Puri. Nobody knows how old is that temple. You remember the last time? Kini Indrajumna.
Yeah.
And Tirupati also is from different yuga. So
sometimes they know when the temple was built, the most recent one.
Sometimes, but not that one.
Often they find that there are layers and layers underneath.
Yeah. So anyway, I have a friend in Mexico. He graduated from, he's a geologist. Hmm. So he went to the temple and I saw him. And I said, how you got in contact with the Hare Krishna movement? He said, I was in the university. And I asked my professor, a geologist professor, where would I find the ancient stone or rock? Where can I find it? He said, I don't know, but you have to go to the Hare Krishna temple. They have ancient books. They will tell you then. So he went to the temple in Prasad and he became a devotee. So. But he has PhD in geology. So we have ancient temples in India. The only thing is distortion of the history. Archaeologists, they distort the history, mostly to Western history. But actually in India, ancient culture, goes beyond, And then we have to remember how Mongols, they destroyed a lot of temples.
Yeah.
And the British too.
There's some things they couldn't destroy. One thing that India has is rock temples. The temples are carved out of solid rock. Sometimes there's one that's carved from the top, at least appears. So you have you have everything that's a temple, but imagine trying to build a temple by chipping away rock. You have the whole space inside and all the carvings on the walls and all the columns and how can anybody do such a thing? It has to be some kind of mystic power. Actually, in Judhakarma Prabhu's book, Searching for Vedic India, he describes that in Tibet, in the 1930s, some Western traveler was there and documented seeing Buddhist monks by mantra levitating stones up the side of a cliff because they were trying to build something up on this cliff. And this person actually observed this. This was less than 100 years ago. So the power of mantra, we know the power of sound, because everything is energy and vibrational, and we don't know a lot about these things, but if you know how to manipulate these things, like the yogis, they have different powers, they can do so many different things. So you learn how, even our bodies, what are they? They're mostly space and energy, vibrations. Subatomic particles are vibrating. So if you can learn, you can master the art of vibrational energy, You do amazing things that seem to defy science, and they do defy what science understands. So these incredible things are there, anomalous archaeological thing. There's one in the Mahabalipuram, or Mamallapuram, they call it now. It's south of Chennai. There are different cliff or carvings or stone carvings. There's some that are like bas-reliefs. And then there, they call the chariots of the Pandavas. And then there's this, it's a tank, it tends to have water in it. But it's perfectly cut out of stone. There's just no way you could do it with an ordinary chisel. That's one of the challenges that archaeologists have, that a lot of these cuttings that are done, they're so precise, and they look like they were done with some high-speed ultrasonic drills or saws and these kinds of things. But they're thousands and thousands of years old, so they can't be explained. So these things are, of course, they're not directly about Krishna consciousness, but they do indicate that science is missing a lot and just ignoring things. What they tend to do, if it, they don't agree with it, they just ignore it. They say, ah, just can't be. Something's wrong. It just can't be because this is the theory. You know, we have this theory, so it just can't be. So we are responsible. Well, that's not real science. Science is to try to understand, to try to know. Use every tool available. And one of the tools is the ancient writings that describe these things. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.